Let's take our Bibles once again and turn to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. I'm so thankful that the Lord's given us a heart to want to be here. Isaiah 43. I know that every man, every woman born in Adam is ignorant. They're born ignorant of our need. I know we are. Psalm, hold your place in Isaiah. Psalm 14 summed up all of our thoughts, needs. Psalm 14, verse 2 and 3. This is what the Lord has said. Verse 2 and 3, Psalm 14, 2 and 3. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And they're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Well, knowing that if they leave this world without Christ, without a mediator, without a Savior, without a priest, they're going to die in their sins. There's not a believer in this room today that doesn't desire for those that he knows, those that he doesn't know, that they might know God. I want people to hear. I want people to understand. I want them to. I want people to realize what it's going to be like to leave this world without a Savior. I want them to know. Well, the scripture today, Isaiah 43, I want us to look at the first seven verses. And I want to hear again what the Lord says to a people. And I want the Lord to cause me, give me a heart that wants to hear this. I want to hear it. I want you to hear it. The scripture declares, Isaiah 43, verse 1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee. Not merely created me as he created me in my mother's womb. I know that God Almighty is the giver of life, physical life, spiritual life. Now thus saith the Lord that created thee. Created us. We are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. If we know him, he did. We didn't do it. We didn't add anything to it. He finds us dead, spiritually dead. I wonder how many times we've ever heard that statement. We're dead. And until God gives life, a man that's dead doesn't know he's dead. I mean, he hears it, but he doesn't believe it. He still believes he can do something. He still believes there's something. I don't know what he thinks he can do. But dead animals, dead plants, you know what they do? Nothing. They're dead. They're just dead. Now, thus saith the Lord that created thee. O Jacob, he that created thee. O Jacob, you heel catcher. you supplanter. He that created thee, O Jacob, this is what every man is in himself. He that created you, O Jacob, and every believer will right now admit, that's me. I'm Jacob. The Lord wrestled with Jacob in Genesis 32 and asked him, what is your name? He said, my name is Jacob. My name is Jacob. I'm the trickster. I'm the huckster that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Now you know the significance of that. What are we in ourselves? We're Jacob's. What are we created in Christ Jesus? We're a prince with God. Man, one of these days. One of these days, by the grace of God, we're going to understand what that means. Prince with God. Now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel. Now listen to this. Fear not. Wonder how far that goes, Fred. Fear not. Fear not now, fear not then. You're talking about when I stand before God. I can't, but I'll say it anyway. Can you imagine? There is coming a day when the trumpet's going to sound. We're all going to hear. I tell you who all is going to hear. The dead are going to hear it. The dead are going to hear it. The dead shall hear the voice of God and be summoned up before great white throne judgment. How many people have been born into this world? They're all going to be there. They're all going to be there. Can you imagine the crowd of people? What a crowd. And he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Now this is when these two little words are going to really have some significance. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. You have nothing to fear. Now, wait a minute. Who has nothing to fear? All the Jacobs that's been known, to, made known, that have been made to know what they are. Let me tell you something. Jacobs, spiritually, they don't have anything in themselves to trust in. I bet I've said that. I don't know how many times I've said it, and Lord willing, I won't quit saying it. But I'm telling you, because one of these days, all of us who need to hear it, we're going to believe it. We don't have anything to trust in. I need for the Spirit of God to come to me and make me willing. Does God people come because they want to? They certainly do. They want to. But until he gives a Jacob, a dead man, a trickster, a huckster, a supplanter, till he gives him a new heart. I don't want to. I don't want to come. I get it. I know why man by nature doesn't want to come. Doesn't want to come here. I get it. Why? Because he has no interest in coming. He don't want to come. If he wanted to come, he'd come. All of us do what we want to do. That's what I do. I do just exactly what I want to. Well, sometimes. Sometimes there may be some things. But basically, I'm going to pretty well do what I want to do. But the scripture says to all the Jacobs that's been made to know that they're a prince with God, not in themselves, because God was pleased to make them what they are. I created you. I formed you. Like a potter forms. I told you this before. I took a few art classes and I never did throw a pot, make one. But I watched them do it. And I mean to tell you, I mean, they're just doing that thing. It just all depends what they do with this finger or this or do. They just, whoop, they made it just exactly the way they want to. I created you and I formed you. Fear not. Why? Why do I have nothing to fear if I have been made by the grace of God to willingly cast myself upon the mercy of God? Why do I have nothing to fear? He said, why? Because I've redeemed you. Don't fear because you're mine by purchase. Paid for you. I bought you. I paid your debt from the bondage and the curse of the law. I purchased, paid the penalty for your sin. He says also, I've called thee by thy name. He knows I'm a Jacob. But by the grace of God, he knows what he's made me in Christ. I call thee by thy name. I effectually addressed you as to who I say you are. I can readily see me as a Jacob. But let me tell you something. You don't know the half of it. I told you that before. But to say that I am a prince with God, that's just one I'm just going to have to believe by faith and be thankful for. To say this, that if I have no reason to fear, it's because he's made me what I am. I redeem thee, verse 1, I call thee by thy name. And that word called, I looked it up a few minutes ago just to make sure. Called. Specifically. When he called, was standing before the tomb of Lazarus, who did he call? Lazarus. I wonder how many people were in that area, the dead or in that time. I don't know. Lazarus, come forth. Who came forth? One man. Lazarus. I called you, a word that speaks of God's sovereign power and right to do what he will. I have redeemed thee, I've called thee by thy name. And listen to this, those last three words in verse 1. Thou art mine, you're mine, you're mine. Don't be afraid, you're mine. I'm the one that set my affection on you. You're mine. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Verse 2, don't be afraid because you're a preserved people. You're a redeemed people. And you're a preserved people. Verse 2 says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. When Israel crossed over the Red Sea, how did they walk across? Dry land. Dry land. That's the answer. How did they walk? The waters parted. How did they go across? God opened up the way for them. Whenever the people of God came to the Jordan River, and the priests that were bearing the ark on their shoulders, when they came and when their foot touched that water, the water backed up and stood up in a heap. You believe that? I believe it did. And they walked across on dry land. When Nebuchadnezzar said to Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, boys, I'm going to give you one more shot at it. Now, I don't know if y'all heard me correctly, but now you listen to what I'm saying. Whenever the harp and psaltery and sackbut, all those instruments start playing, you bow down and worship this idol that I've set up right here, this image of me. You bow down. What did it say? Well, we're not afraid to answer you. Let me tell you something. We're not going to bow down. He said, you don't bow down, we'll throw you in that burning furnace. We ain't bound. Fire it up 7 times hotter. Fired it up. Threw them in. 3 men. What did the king say? Didn't we throw 3 guys in there? I see 4. one of them is like to the Son of God. The Scripture says, when thou passest through the waters of affliction, the rivers of trial, they're not going to overflow you. It doesn't mean that even believers can't drown physically, but spiritually. When thou walkest through the fire, tribulation, trials, the resentments and hatreds of this world, thou shalt not be burned eternally. They're not going to affect you. Don't be afraid. It's not going to kindle upon thee. And why is this? Why shall we not be eternally overtaken? Verse 3 says, "For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee." Here's what the Lord is saying. The covenant God will deal with and use whoever he is pleased to sacrifice of the enemies of God's people to accomplish his will and purpose toward their redemption and salvation. Don't be afraid. God's people, by the good pleasure and will of God, was put into Egypt years before. Whenever Joseph was set over second in command to Pharaoh, and he was over the corn and everything, that's how all the people of God got there. But they increased and increased and increased, and eventually another Pharaoh came up. Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph. And they realized something. These people are getting out of control. We've got to put a thumb on them. God knew where they were going to be. God put them there. And Scripture says that God sent Moses and Aaron. He said, "You go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. You tell them. Now we ain't letting them go." The Lord said, "I am the Lord God. I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. I gave Egypt for your ransom." People of God walked out of Egypt, and Egypt was in shambles. "I gave Egypt. I gave Ethiopia and Seba for you. Fear not." Why? Look at verse 4. "Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. I've loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life." Because you are precious, you're highly esteemed and valuable, prized. You're prized in my sight. Let me ask you this. What does it matter, whatever the world thinks of God's people, if we're precious in his sight? The cause of us being precious in his sight, what is that? Is it because of something that he valued and saw in us that was worthy of putting his love and affection upon us? No. I just read he looked down from heaven. How many did you see that sought him? None. We're dug out of the same lump. There's no difference. It's by his good pleasure that we found grace in his eyes. Scripture says in Genesis 6, God looked and saw that every imagination of the thoughts of men was only evil continually. God said, "I'm going to destroy what I've done." It repented the Lord. Not that he changed his mind, but he's going to deal with man now the way that he sees fit. Never insinuate that God changes his mind. He never changes his mind. He said, "I don't change. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." He doesn't change his mind. One man, Noah, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. "I'm going to show mercy and grace to him." His wife and his family benefited from it. "I am the Lord thy God, Verse 4 says, Thou wast precious in my sight. You've been honorable. I've loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Don't be afraid. Verse 5 and 6, fear not. For I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up. To the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, my daughters from the ends of the earth. The word am is in italics. It's where it says, verse 5, fear not, for I with thee. I with thee. The Lord is with us. I will bring thy seed. Not I hope I will. I hope I can. If you let me, if you decide to give me your free will, I will bring you. I'm going to bring you. Don't worry. We're going to make it. By the grace of God, we're going to make it. Why? Kept by the power of God. Through faith. Christ laid down his life for the sheep. The Holy Spirit is going to regenerate every one of them. That's what John 6:37 says. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. If a man or woman willingly comes to Christ, why do they come? According to the word of the Lord, they were given unto the Lord Jesus Christ by the Father. All that the Father giveth me, John 6:37, shall come to me. Now let me ask you this. If someone dies in sin and unbelief, if they die in sin and unbelief, if they never knew God, based on the word of the Lord, based on the word of the Lord, when he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. If someone leaves this world and they didn't come, they left this world an unbeliever, there's only one conclusion that you can make according to the scriptures. Now, I'm not talking about our opinion. I'm not talking about our feelings. I'm talking about what God says. If someone does not come, and the scripture says that all that the Father giveth me shall come, then what does that mean? You can only come to one conclusion. I'll go ahead and say it. They weren't the Lord's. They weren't the Lord's. They weren't given unto the Lord Jesus Christ in electing grace. That's all you can conclude. And I know what the natural man's going to say, according to Romans 9. Romans 9, you know what he says? Thou wilt say then, O man, why does he yet find fault? Well, how do you find fault with me? Now, I'm going to answer that question according to the scripture. Turn there. Turn your Bibles. Romans 9. Romans 9. I'm not going to say it without having us look at it. Verse 15. Romans 9, 15. Everybody there? For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy. On whom I will have mercy, I will have compassion. On whom I'll have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth. If somebody tells you that a man has a free will, turn over to Romans 9, please, 16, and read this. Does God's people come because he has given them a new heart to do so? Yes. What will they do if God doesn't give them a new heart? They will not come. How do you know that? The Lord told the Pharisees, you will not come to me. You will not come to me that you might have life. But if God gives a new heart, they come then. That's when they come. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, working and establishing and doing. I've done so much for the Lord. But of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore, hath he mercy on whom he'll have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. What does that mean? Leave him alone. Leave him alone. Nay, but O man, verse 20. No. Verse 19. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? Well, who hath resisted his will? Not my fault. It's God's fault. If a man or woman doesn't come, it's God's fault. Well, it's God's fault because he left you to do what you wanted to do? Listen, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be hard. I'm just trying to be truthful. I told people, when I stand before God, you know what's going to matter? This. I can sit there and argue all day long and say, no. I said, I'm telling you what's going to stand. He said, my word's going to stand. Lord, give me a heart to bow to it. Thou wilt say unto me, why doth he yet find fault? Who hath resisted his will? Verse 20, nay, but O man, who art thou that appliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted, made up to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory? Bear the problem today is that men don't realize who they're dealing with. He said, I'm a just God, and I'm a Savior. Resist him, and you're going to die. You're going to die eternal. Bow to him. Cast yourself upon God's mercy. Nobody's ever come to the Lord by the grace of God, ever came to the Lord and was pushed away. Nobody. The problem is nobody left to themselves wants to come. They don't want to come. I mean, if I could shake somebody and say, listen, you don't realize what you're doing here. You don't realize you're going to die. You're going to die. Until God does something for them today, they don't care. They don't care, I think. That breaks my heart. I got people in my family that I love. I don't want them to perish, but I can't save them. But I can be truthful with them. I can be truthful. Fear not, verse 5. I'm with you. I'll bring thy seed from the east. Gather thee. I will say to the north, give up. To the south, keep back. Keep not back. Bring my sons from far, my daughters from the ends of the earth. You bring them. Don't be afraid. Even everyone, verse 7, that is called by my name, for I've created him. Now listen to this. For my glory. For my glory. In closing, turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. It's what David just read. I think this is it. Oh, yeah, Ephesians 2, verse 4, and following for a few verses. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And here's the reason. He did it for his glory, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Don't be afraid. Don't resist him. Somebody say, well, that's not the God that I want to serve. Well, God have mercy on your soul. because that's the God of this Bible. He's a just God, but he's a Savior. He delights to show mercy. I've had people tell me, sounds like you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. I said, well, no, I'm just trying to be honest with what the Scripture says. I'm trying to be honest. Don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called you. You're mine. I'm going to have you. If the Lord's given anybody in this room a heart that wants to bow to this God, Lord, save me. I don't want to trust any more of myself. I want to trust you. If God's given a heart, and he's going to have to, confess him in baptism. Say, this is the God I serve. This is God I believe. For his glory and your eternal good and my good. Amen. Okay.